There was once an abbot at a monastery who became concerned that his community was dwindling. The faith of the monks was weak and lifeless. It felt to the abbot like the monastery was dying. And so he went to talk to his good friend, a rabbi, and he told him what was going on. And as he spoke with him, he began to weep. And the rabbi said to him, "There is something you need to know, my brother. We have long known in the Jewish community that the Messiah is one of you." "What?" said the abbot. "The Messiah is one of us? How can that be?" But the rabbi insisted that it was so. And as the abbot went back to the monastery, he was filled with both comfort and excitement. Well, in the days and the weeks that followed, as he walked down the halls and through the courtyards of the monastery, each time he would pass a monk, he would wonder if he was the one, if he was the Messiah. And when the abbot would go into the chapel to pray, sometimes he would hear someone speaking, and as he turned his head to see who it was, he would wonder if that was the one, if that was the person who was the Messiah. Well, soon the abbot began treating all of the monks in the monastery with great respect and kindness and awe. He treated them with reverence. One day, one of them came to him and said, "Why are you acting so different?" And after some coaxing, the abbot said to him, "The Messiah is one of us." Well, then that monk began to see and treat the other monks differently as well, and soon the word got out all throughout the monastery that the Messiah is one of us. And the whole community became filled with life and worship and vitality and kindness and grace. And the prayer life of the monks became rich and passionate, and the services were alive and vibrant, and the surrounding villagers would come to visit the monastery to attend. And many of them wanted to join the community. The monastery had come alive. Well, in Unity, we know the embedded truth in this message, that it wasn't that the Messiah was one of them, but rather we would say that the Christ, or the divine, was in all of them. And as each monk went about seeing the Christ in others, that individual was changed, and so were all of the people around them, just as we are changed when we behold the divine, when we behold the sacred in one another. And that monastery was so filled with love and joy that it spilled out and it rippled out to the surrounding community. Well, this is the transformational power of reverence. And the definition of reverence is a feeling or attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. Don't you love that? A feeling or attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. And we may not use this exact term, but it is the same attitude of reverence that is essential for harmonious human relations, for peaceful coexistence, for diversity, for environmental protection, for animal welfare, for knowing our oneness, and so much more. And indeed, this idea of reverence was really central to Jesus' teachings. Think about it. To have that sense of deep respect, tinged with awe for ourselves, for God, one another, as he said, "Love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love your God." Well, these days, we don't really hear too much about reverence because we're so busy and distracted with other things, right? More commonly, the things we are focused on is, you know, we have a coronavirus to deal with. We have racism to overcome. We have these deep divisions in our country that need to be healed. The prevailing emotions that people are feeling are more like, you know, stress and overwhelmed and anxiety and fear and anger and grief, sadness, shock, a little bit of cynicism. Well, who has time to be reverent? We do. if we make it a priority. You know, often we think that this attitude of reverence is like an afterthought. When we get everything else figured out, then we'll be reverent. But think back to the story of the monastery. Reverence wasn't the last step. It was the first step. It was the path to transformation. It was the way of coming home to love and to peace and to grace. To revere, to be in this state of reverence is to really honor and respect the dignity of all that is, to see the sacredness in all of life. I imagine you've had times in your life when you stepped outside of your doors or even looked around your home or your family and suddenly felt this sense of sort of reverence come over you, this sense of how precious it all is. You know, when we are in this state, we see differently. And we see each other differently. And as we begin to practice more regularly, we find that this is one sure way to invite more of the divine in. The blessings begin to overflow. We feel our hearts fill up and expand. We may find ourselves feeling moved beyond words or overwhelmed with gratitude. Well, that was much of the way I was feeling last Wednesday night. As I sat in and listened to some of the small group discussions as part of our Faith Lift service on Zoom, some of the small group discussions on race, on overcoming racism, dismantling racism. And that beautiful honesty and vulnerability among all those who were participating, the heartfelt sharing of insights and experiences, that sense of people really connecting with one another at a very deep level. Man, it was precious. It was holy. I felt so honored to just even witness that. And that whole setting and everyone who participated in each of the groups and in the discussion, it felt like there was a palpable sense of the presence of God in them and in the conversations. You see, we kid ourselves when we say that we don't have time to be reverent. It only takes an instant. It takes a second. It's just in that conscious choice to see things from the divine point of view. A shift, a remembering. Well, as many of you know, I had my family in town. Richard and I were blessed by having my children and their families come to town. And oh my gosh, that was just a little bit of an energy shift for us, wasn't it, dear? My children. But it was wonderful. It was fabulous. It was fabulous. And the interactions among us and between us were so memorable and so sweet. And I will say that, you know, particularly sweet were the interactions between my granddaughter, Vivian, who's almost three now, and to the newest member of our family, Maya, who's just a little bit over a month old. And this is when they met each other for the first time, right? So beautiful. And honestly, I have to say, just being in their presence or looking at them is like a spiritual experience. It instantly takes you to that place of reverence. Reverence for humanity, for human life, for the beautiful ways it shows up in innocent children. And what I noticed is that anytime one of these two would be crying or fussy or in need or having a hard time struggling in any way, all of us in the family would rally. You know, all of us would show up, sort of rise to the occasion to help them, to soothe or to comfort or to rock or to entertain. Whatever we could do to be there for them, because we had that sense of reverence. And just to give you an idea, here's how Popster was comforting our grandchildren at different times. Little Maya's, he was playing the piano, and Vivian, and here were a couple of ways that I was similarly being there for these sweet little souls. And what I thought about later is, man, what would it be like? What would it be like to have that same feeling of reverence for all people? You know, what would our world be like if anytime someone cried out in pain or was suffering or was struggling in some way, that we all rallied to help them? You know, how would it be if we were so steeped in and reverent of the sanctity of human life and every human being, that we would literally rush to the side of anyone who was hurting or oppressed, being victimized, being threatened. What would that be like? To have that same sense of deep connection and that same conviction that would cause us to be there for one another. And isn't this exactly what Jesus taught? Isn't this exactly it? That this is how we are to live our lives, that we are our brothers and sisters' keepers, that we are to love one another, we support one another, and care for one another. Be there, show up. Well, clearly we have a ways to go in achieving that ideal. It helps to remember that that is what he taught, however. And I deeply believe, despite some of the trials that we're going through, that world and that way of being with each other is possible. And I believe you do as well. And that we see it as part of our own personal mission to do our part, to contribute to bringing this more loving, compassionate, conscious world into manifestation. One way we can do that is by consciously beginning a practice of reverence. And heaven knows, the issues of the day give us many opportunities to practice. We can revere the health and safety and well-being of other people by wearing our masks, maintaining social distance when we're with others. We can revere the innate dignity and worth of every human being by educating ourselves on race and doing our part to come together to dismantle racism. And we can revere that divine presence in each and every person, even if we vehemently disagree with them. We can still behold the truth of them, the light in them, and remember that every single one of us is doing the best we can right now at the level of consciousness that we're at. And then come together and work hard together to raise that level of consciousness. The power of reverence changes us, and it can change our world. You know, I've often thought that reverence is very present here at Uni Renaissance, and I completely own the fact that sounds hopelessly biased. But I sort of felt it that the first time I walked in the door. I think our commitment to being an open and inclusive community that welcomes all people really reflects that sense of reverence for all the many ways in which God shows up in human form. I made out my little list of other things that we're reverent of here in our spiritual community, and it's true whether we're together in person or just connecting online. Our spiritual community reveres love, acceptance, humanity, beauty, Mother Earth, sacred space, fellowship and community, children, service, learning, growing, giving, and gratitude. We revere our gifted musicians. I know they're all applauding out there. Our prayer chaplains, our lay leaders, our staff, our dedicated sound and AV team doing such an amazing job for us, our board, our many amazing volunteers. And we revere our almost 5 acres of heaven on earth right here on Eden Way and the glorious facility that we've co-created. You know, the world needs our attitude of reverence now more than ever. So how can we expand our practice of it just in the same way that joy and love in the monastery spilled out to the surrounding community? How can we show up in ways that help spread this feeling of respect tinged with deep awe? Well, here are a few ideas on how we can more fully revere others, practice reverence with others, and also how we can practice more reverence for ourselves. So the first one is to consciously choose to see the divine in others, whether we know them or not. We can see the light of God shining through them and as them. And try this the next time you're out and about, if you're going through the grocery store, or even if you're passing by in a car. Bless everyone you see by saying, "May you be happy. May you be at peace." Practice good manners. Sounds very simple, doesn't it? But people are a little rough around the edges these days. Consider the comfort of others first. Be thoughtful and generous. Honor privacy. And strive to be on time. Listen with all of you. Listen with your heart as well as your ears. I'll be talking more about this next Sunday because I think at this time in history, really listening to each other is of vital importance. Give others the benefit of a doubt. Remember in the Four Agreements, it says don't take anything personally. Man, this is a great time to be practicing that. Don't take it personally. Again, continue to see the innate goodness in others. And if someone else is blessed with good fortune, affirm, this joy is mine also. A great reminder that we're all connected. And then for yourself, in any situation, whether you're feeling lonely, afraid, isolated, or overwhelmed, say to yourself, I am more than these feelings. I have feelings, but I am not my feelings. Man, emotions are running so high right now. Every day you can remind yourself, I am not my feelings, and this too shall pass. I also invite you to see yourself through the eyes of someone who loves you. It could be your spouse, it could be a partner, a spiritual teacher, a relative, or friend. It could even be your dog. Yes, I've seen the bumper sticker that says, God, please help me be the person my dog thinks I am. And finally, become aware of your own innate divinity. You know, God's doing a mighty work through you. You're blessed, and you're a blessing. Take a moment to just deeply feel that. Appreciate the light of God in you. You can say to yourself or to a picture of your, say to yourself in the mirror or a picture of yourself, I behold the Christ in you. I behold the divine in you. Or even, I love you. Like the monks in the monastery, we can bring new life into our hearts. We can restore our own vitality through this beautiful practice of reverence, seeing with new eyes what is around us, and really appreciating how transformative this can be for our own well-being and for the well-being of others and for our world. You know, I believe Jesus when he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I would add, if only we have the eyes and the ears and the willingness to perceive it. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to close your eyes and breathe in. Release and let go. Breathing into this reverent, sacred moment, wherever you are, whatever you're experiencing, the grace of God is upon you and within you. Breathe in, release, and let go. Take a moment to simply appreciate what a good and beautiful soul you are. What a sweet, lovely expression of the divine. Doing your best to navigate your life, to learn and to grow, to be the best, as we say, the best Christ you can be. In this moment, give yourself the gift of self-love. Send it throughout your body and your very being. Feeling this sense of the shimmering presence of God within you, I invite you now to imagine turning that outward to your families, to your friends, the strangers, people who are different from you, to all beings here on our beloved planet Earth. Imagine shining back, reflecting back to them the truth that they too are a unique and beautiful expression of the divine. imagine this playing out in your daily life. You hold it in your mind's eye and memorize this way of being for a few moments in the silence. Thanks for this time of coming together, reuniting with our hearts, with our own love, our own goodness. We go forward from this moment with our eyes and our hearts wide open to behold the divine and all that is around us, to take that extra moment to see as God would see, to see the beauty, and to say thank you as we say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.